Hey, is this thing on?
Spit on the microphone.
Welcome to Successfully Screwed, a weekly podcast with Ashley Owens
and Sarah Rosenberg.
What the hell is this about?
I don't even know where I'm starting. Is that where I'm starting?
Well, this is about how business owners screw up their fuck-ups.
If you're a business owner, you know the definition of hard work, frustration, second-guessing, imposter syndrome,
and everything in between. And then you look around on social media or on CNBC and the success of others and you wonder,
damn, when is that going to happen for me? Will it ever happen for me? The hell am I doing wrong?
And what the fuck am I doing wrong? Hey, guess what? Everybody says that. There are a lot of other podcasts out there that are positively motivational.
Those are cool because they give you those warm, fuzzy, woohoo feelings. But the Successfully Screwed podcast takes a different approach to kicking you in the pants.
To kicking you in the ass.
In an attempt to motivate you to hang in there and keep grinding.
We talk about the fuck-ups and how successful entrepreneurs overcome them because that is its own kind of motivation.
We also give you that Schadenfreude factor.
God damn it.
Schadenfreude. Google it.
On this episode, we talk to... You've had that feeling before. You've had a great idea to help your business grow. You get all excited about it. And then a few days go by and you lose all of your motivation, no matter how good of an idea it was. If you listen to the Successfully Screwed podcast, you probably noticed that most of our guests list support and accountability as one of their key factors in business success. We've noticed that too and decided to create an effective and affordable way to help business owners reach their goals and level up. So, welcome to the Successfully Accountable Accountability Groups. Well, how does it work? You're matched up with an accountability group according to your goals and business type, as well as your experience, and groups meet via Zoom. Is it good for you? Probably. If you're a business owner who wants to get things done and level up, then yes. If you're willing to commit to your group and show up and contribute, then definitely. Can you benefit from a little accountability? Yep. Want to talk about it, learn more? Let's find out. Visit successfullyaccountable.com. Welcome to the Successfully Screwed podcast. I am your extrovert, Ashley Owens.
And I'm your introvert, Sarah Rosenberg.
Sarah, you're so enthusiastic. Welcome to our screw-ups of the week. There are so many. We have the pleasure and the privilege to be able to interview Jonathan Mercer from Stax. Dude, like, you're like 12 years old. I'm sure, obviously, you're older
he
than
is
that.
He is 12 years old.
Very, very young and
12
awesome.
And a half.
Well, when I have guys. And I'm just thrilled. Like, co-working spaces in general are just...
They're so cool.
They're really actually a lot of cool, but I have no idea how they make money. So I'm going to ask you that in a minute.
Uh-oh. But, well, I was hoping you could help me with that.
He wants to know that too.
Perfect. So the way that this works is Sarah and I give you our screw-ups of the week to make you feel more comfortable about how fucked up your life is. So let's just start. My screw-up of this week, Alex is here.
Yay, Alex.
Alex is here. So that's my husband, Jonathan. So my husband is now fucking up with my flow. So I typically, he doesn't exist until 5 o'clock. So every time he peeks his head in and I'm like, you don't exist until 5 o'clock.
Oh, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It is 5 o'clock somewhere, but he's currently making me a sandwich. So I'm really excited about that. He's still as I haven't eaten today. Very useful. He's been wonderful today. He's like, I was throwing stuff around per an email we just received. I was throwing some things around my office. And I think maybe my script of this week is letting my emotions get the better of me sometimes when it comes to people who can't do their jobs. So the other part of that though is that he heard me throwing things around and he comes in like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. Like there's nothing I could tell him that would help because I need to internally get my own shit together to make things work out well. So that's that. My scrub of this week is letting my emotions get the better of me.
Sarah, although can I just say, I'm going through this situation with you. I feel like you're quite reserved. And honestly, I think in this particular situation, like it's warranted. The frustration level is warranted. Do your fucking job. Like, just do your job.
Yeah, it's just crazy. But you know, at the end of the day, too, is like, I think I'm getting a little bit better at managing the fact that I don't have a fear anymore
of like, if something screws up in the past, if something had screwed up somehow in my position, I would always be in fear of repercussions of like somebody coming down on me, someone, you know, telling me that I'm not doing my job well enough, or like just the value that I didn't know I had. And that was questioned all the time. I don't have that anymore. So it's a different kind of frustration that is quick because it's more of a knee-jerk reaction and it doesn't linger for weeks.
Yeah.
So it's managed because I'm managing it, but at the same time, it sucks for like the 5 minutes that I make a big deal out of it, and then I'm done. Also, CBD oil is fantastic. So that shit really makes everything just even out.
Cannabis powder, like, so, in a hurry. We need them.
I gotta talk to, I think it's my Jewish sauce boss. I gotta talk to that guy because he does, he runs his own cannabis business. But again, you know, CBD oil is like a derivative of cannabis, but there's like very, 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 very little THC, the legal amount. And I'm such a prude. So when it comes to like taking two Advil, I'm like, I've overdosed. I'm right. done. I'm going to hell. Like I can't, someone pump my stomach. I'm such a weirdo. And then my very good friend, and my very good friend is like, hey, you know, I know therapy is expensive. Have you thought about CBD oil? I'm like, hmm. So now I got this little, nobody can see it, but I have this little, it, to me, it looks like
it's a unicorn.
Unicorn turd. I call it my puff puff. It's the unicorn turd, and it's like a vape, and now I'm that person that enjoys the vaping. But so puff far, a little CBD oil mint. It's like a fancy. Oh, that's what it's now being called, magic dragon.
Yes,
exciting. All right, Sarah, what is your low points?
So I'm not going to talk about depression. We're not going to anymore. So I had a situation today. Well, not today. This week. So I did a consultation with someone. And they needed some help with their marketing. And I gave them sort of a step-by-step process of what to do in terms of getting their marketing collateral together, positioning themselves as an expert, blah, blah, blah. And this was an older person who needs clients. She totally told me that she needs to get clients. And she hasn't been doing all of this marketing stuff in the past. And I tried really hard. Every single thing from article writing, blog posts, creating guides, all of that expert positioning stuff, I'm not doing that.
She asked for you to do it?
Well, I said, this is what you need to do to bring in clients, like at this point in what you're doing, like you're old school, but like nobody uses the yellow pages anymore. So you can't rely on that ad going on in there. Right. I broke it down, gave her the basics, and everything was I can't do that. I'm not doing that. I can't do that.
She was saying that. Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant asking you to do that. Oh my gosh.
Well,
let me play devil's advocate here, right? Because we have, you and I share a couple clients that have technological challenges, which is a challenge for us to be able to go through and teach them that, right? Mm-hmm. So that's also on us as well. Have you thought about with her, you know, providing her with a referral who can do those things for her instead of you telling her to do it and her getting overwhelmed? Because again, that stuff can be overwhelming.
Absolutely.
But being able to say, hey, yeah. And like giving that, like, that stuff to somebody else and saying, you want to hire this person because they can do all these things for you.
I would like to plead the fifth on that.
Okay, deal.
What did I do? What did I do, Ashley? You know me. What
you emotionally do? You emotionally got involved. You got really upset that she didn't do those things. And you probably said, fuck it. Oh, you did it for her, didn't you?
I offered.
You did it for her.
I offered.
Did you give her a quote? Did you quote her?
No.
I hate you so much. You I cannot told her to go
send
on
me a list. She has yes to send me a list of topics. So I made her do that. So we'll see.
What time do you have?
I know. What I have no time. I don't even have brain cell capacity to do my own job.
Sarah.
Right now.
Sarah,
I know.
This is your brain. This is your brain when you give quotes that are free. It's too much.
So anyway, that's my little point. And basically the takeaway with this, people, is if you're an entrepreneur and you need clients, do what you fucking have to do to get them. Like, stop with the, I can't do that. I can't, like, limiting beliefs, whatever that's called in that motivational world, stop it or go get a job.
The other takeaway from this also is if you do things for people and you're good at it, don't do them for free.
I know. Can we talk to Jonathan now? Can we switch?
Yes, you can, because I'm very angry with you. Jonathan!
God, I'm pretty good at talking, so I just decided I'm going to charge you for this now.
He wins all of the things. Well, how about you introduce yourself and tell us why you're awesome?
Yeah, so I'm Jonathan Mercer. I own and run Stacks Company, Stacks Co., or just Stacks for short, in Doylestown. And it is a co-working and event space, just opened up in June. It's my first rodeo. I've never opened a co-working space, but like an entrepreneur, I found myself in Doylestown earlier this year and needed a place to work from. So I sat down and Googled co-working, and there was no co-working space. So I did some research, started talking to people, started running some events, and then here we are.
Was that always like in your pathway? What did you do before? Is this your first
no.
rodeo?
I went to the University of Michigan and Rutgers, and I was at Johnson & Johnson for my whole kind of career right after school from age 20. And I was in digital marketing, information technology, procurement, contract negotiations. And then I was in Australia for 3 years in medical devices with Johnson & Johnson. And then one thing led to another, and I ended up leaving. And then, I did some real estate last year, so that was probably the closest I got to actually like co-working type of stuff. So that kind of got my foot, I guess, kind of got my feet wet with space management type of stuff. It's very new to me.
So how was that change between, you know, because I used to work at eBay Enterprise, right? So that was a big and SEI investment. So they're very, very large companies that have different business units. And like sometimes they have open spaces. How was that transition for you coming from, I mean, Johnson & Johnson is a very lucrative company, no matter what. And they have the regimented rules and all that jazz. So how has that transition from having someplace that's completely structured to a place that's more flexible? How has that changed for you mentally?
The structure is probably, that is the biggest contrast. Of things are structured. You have a manager, you have a hierarchy, you have like a way things go, a pecking order. You have to be there certain days, certain times. You get very used to that, especially, I mean, for me, it was, I'll say only 8 years, but I mean, there's people I know that are trying to make a change after 30 years, 30 plus years. So that was very definitely ingrained in me. But at the same time, I always had an entrepreneurial feeling, like kind of fire burning inside. My parents are both entrepreneurs. So I always knew that was a path I wanted to go. And just, it was like, oh, when the time is right, when the time is right. But you know, you never, when is the time really right? So yeah, it was an interesting change. I'll probably get into the whole story a little bit more later, but, what led me to leaving in part was I took what was supposed to be on paper in an innovation type role. We're developing new services to wrap around our medical device products on paper. Beautiful, perfect role. In reality, in a big company, like you said, no, not the case. So I was just felt stagnant. Kind of being freed from that was great, but then it's like so much opportunity in this blank canvas is like, it was a little overwhelming. It wasn't really until I kind of learned to roll with what comes at you, like kind of go with the flow with things. And of course, you got to push a little bit and go in the direction you want. But it wasn't until I like actually let go a little bit and said, okay, I'm going to just pivot with things as they come. And that's how I'm doing this co-working thing, having never done it. Really just watching and learning and listening and making a lot of mistakes, but then just adapting quickly.
I think that's so incredible. I think with the structure that you had from working at a lucrative place like Johnson & Johnson, and then your real estate background as well, like you basically combined two areas and then put it into one without having the crap that is what the environment would be for a corporate, right?
Yeah.
So that's a big deal, man. Like it's not just some random, you know, 22-year-old saying like, I want to get a co-working space. Like you're over 30, am I correct? Like, and you have all of this background experience that's solid. A lot of entrepreneurs, depending on where they're coming from, most of them they haven't tasted the corporate structure to be able to take some of those soft skills and put it into practice more on the entrepreneur side. You've got the 22, 23-year-olds coming out of school and thinking that the world owes them something, and then mm-hmm. doing well in certain areas, but having no structure to say, okay, well, corporate kind of sucked. However, having meetings in the morning to make sure everyone's on the same page and making sure you arrive on time and like all these things yeah. that our best practices are now come natural to somebody like us because we've had that experience and it worked well with it. I find that to be fascinating because you bought a space, I'm assuming because you have a real estate background and you know what the space looks like, you have a pulse on the market, and then you took it and you put it into your own thing, which I think is brilliant. So good for you, man. That's awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, and that, one of the biggest things was actually realizing that I didn't have to ask anybody for permission.
Son of a bitch. Okay. Can I just tell you that that single statement was one of the very, the largest reasons of me going on my own. That is a legitimate statement I make all the time. That's awesome. It's a great feeling, right?
Yeah, it was. But it was like, I found myself when I was starting doing my own things, both in Australia and then here, was almost like seeking, when I was reaching out to people, like seeking their approval, their permission to do what I wanted to do, the project that I not just I wanted to do, but with this co-working that the members and the customers actually wanted. But I was like, I needed somebody to say, yeah, you can do that. But then I eventually realized like, no, that's just in my head. And I was just conditioned to feel like that.
It's just so fucking weird. It's like what your value is. And then you realize, holy crap, I got to change the way that I think about my own worth, because if I have to get somebody's permission to do something, then I don't feel that my shit's valuable enough for them. That, like, I need their permission to do it, right? Yeah, but now, that I can't even tell you how much I relate to that. That's insane.
Awesome. Yeah.
Well, let's go to your low point, because, you know, all this positivity is really bringing Sarah down. Just kidding. So, all right, love. So tell me about your low point. I see that you had one hell of a trip the first, 2 weeks you guys had an opening day at Stacks.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
So when I came to Doylestown and started looking for, I guess in a way, I was looking for that permission to open a space here or to just start a group or a meetup or something to get like things going. I reached out to anybody and everybody. And somebody I reached out to was a local in town that had kind of a co-working space, and her and a few other kind of marketing folks that had their own businesses that would share a space. And she was very passionate about wanting to open a co-working space in Doylestown. So we partnered. She invested. It was kind of an informal partnership. She invested money, her time, equity. I wanted her to sign a contract to say, this is what our kind of stakes are. Here's your equity, here's mine, here's our roles, responsibilities. She didn't want to do that. But I was really doing a lot of legwork and finding the space and kind of getting things going, taking some of her advice, but still doing it my way because I felt it was my project. But long story short, we decided to take a larger space than we had originally set out to because she decided that she was going to convince her crew of five other people, or four other people, five including herself, to join us and be part of the co-working space. And it turned out that they didn't want to be part of a co-working space. And they were vocal to her about that. They weren't vocal to me about that. I invited them to do like a field trip to Philly to actually hang out in the co-working space, try it out, come to our space when I was fitting it out here. But nobody ever came. And then to fast forward to June 1st was our opening day. And actually they moved in a week early, but, June 1st is opening day, and it just, the vibe was not good. They were very particular on where things were and how things were set in their rooms, to the extent that they probably changed their arrangements around 3 or 4 times within the first day. Which is fine if you want to nest and get settled. I mean, but then we had, I know you know Seth and Sean, they brought their desk in, plopped down, had their laptops, and boom, they were ready to go. So it was a big juxtaposition in culture.
Yeah.
But quickly found out that all of my kind of gut feelings and the anxiety and the sleepless nights I had leading up to them moving in, the group of folks that came along with the partner and investor, those feelings were accurate. And within a week and a half, they asked her to ask me for a meeting, And they didn't want her to be involved in it necessarily, that she was in it in their demands of what they wanted. And basically it was like everything anti-co-working space. So this was really meant to be a community shared workspace where you can, of course, be productive and do your work, but where you could also cross-pollinate and talk to other people. And yeah, there's going to be a little bit of noise here, but that's what headphones are for. Or that's what a private room is for when you book a room. But they, no, they wanted it to be the front of the space to be their space only. You had a book like the lounge room area, which is the front kind of reception area. That was their demand. There were other demands. They wanted their own Wi-Fi network, not even security for security reasons, but for an image thing. When people came in and as their visitors, they wanted to have their name on the Wi-Fi, which they didn't even have an entity. They were actually just, they named their kind of collaborative something. But I felt right there that paying half the rent, so to speak, right now, half the expenses, which was nice to start. Then the other members were covering everything else. So from there, it was like, okay, I could just build on top of that and make profit from that. But I felt right there, I was like, these demands, like even the Wi-Fi, it's not really just a practical thing. It's because they want this to be an us and them. They want their space, and then it's not gonna be conducive to more people coming on. So I had to choose, and I was very straightforward in telling them whether it was all of them or just one of them or whatever, they could leave. They had a year agreement, but I said, let me know what you want to do. You can go. The meeting ended cordially, and things were fine with me and the partner. I thought things were okay. That was a Friday. But then on the following Tuesday, I could tell that things weren't good with her. She was having trouble speaking to me. Like she had a frog in her throat, almost like I thought she was sick. Then Wednesday evening, she sent me a text and said, can we 4 o'clock? And I said, yeah, sure. So I thought it was just her and me, but I had a feeling it's probably not a good thing. So I went into the meeting at 4 o'clock, and it was not just her, but it was the whole crew. And they said, we would like to take you up on your offer and let us all leave. And we are going to start moving out right now. And I said, well, I didn't say thank God, because it's kind of feeling like that. But I said, yeah, it kind of hurts, guys. I really wanted to work. But no, I appreciate you pulling the plug quickly rather than letting it go on. So they moved out. They had actually, one part of the deal was that they were going to furnish a lot of the front of the space, which is probably why they felt it was theirs and wanted it to be theirs. So a lot of the furniture that we had in the space was gone within our third week. So they moved out. There were members, Seth and Sean were here. Other people were here working. And they're like, what the hell is going on? There's people, like they had an army of their friends and family outside. So it was almost like they're a little dramatic about it, but it was like their lives were at risk and they moved out.
I was just going to say that, like, this sounds like it sounds so antagonistic, and they made you the enemy somehow in their head.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like just from talking from you for the past like 15 minutes, like you're not a not logical person. Like it feels like you've had all your ducks in a row. I mean, for God's sake, you came from Johnson & Johnson. Like you have your shit together. Mm-hmm. And it felt like that there was so much uneasiness with her own inner workings of her, whatever her agenda was, that it just out of nowhere came like, well, I have to backtrack. Well, let me fuck him up a little bit more. And just it just felt malicious a little bit.
Yeah.
A little too malicious for me. Usually they're pretty good.
The way they went about it was not the way I would have gone about it myself if I were in their shoes. I think she was in a tough spot herself, because she was proclaimed by them that she was their den mother. And they really looked to her as kind of the lead, but she was kind of straddling two lines and she really wanted this to work. And I still believe she does. But she's no longer an investor. She decided to pull back, which it's all been for the better, really. Yes, earned some early lumps, and it kind of took, taking a little bit longer to get to like break even and everything. But you know, it's at a point where there is definitely more, a hell of a lot more room for growth and potential, because we're building off of a better foundation versus walking on eggshells all the time. It happened like that, but I can't say my approach is not to say like I made the most of it or the best of it. I just made it, you know, I had, that's the situation that was there. So I couldn't look back and I could look back and learn and say, okay, I could have done this differently, but there were no should-haves really because I was there and I had to make do. And
so what was that lesson that you learned from that though? Like, I mean, was it to go off of your instincts? What was that lesson that you learned?
Instinct. Yeah, of course. That's one thing. That's kind of like a little mushy, right? Like to go like do all that. But I think the contract earlier on with her, we just had like a letter of intent and she had the funding. So from a dollars and cents perspective and a partnership perspective, really lay it out clearly of what roles we're each playing and what's expected from each party and who's holding what portion of the equity and whatnot. So from that perspective, yep. But make more, I could have had more like more contingencies with them as a group saying, okay, I'm feeling like I could have been more open with them and said, I feel like you're not really feeling this co-working environment. And there were a couple of them at times said, we don't want to be part of the co-working space. So that, if that was, it's not just gut feeling, that's actually them saying it. So, could have said, let's just test this out before you dive in and go from there. So yeah, try things more so rather than even just talk about them, actually try them. And I do that as much as possible, is to actually try things rather than talking.
You know what? That's actually a perfect place to break because I want to, you know, when we come back from a message from our sponsor, when we come back, we're actually going to talk more about, you know, those resources that kind of helped you through it and what really kind of made it. So and how are you doing today? How is Stacks doing? The lesson that you learned is pretty clear, but really making sure that people know that, you know, you're there to keep growing. So we'll be right back.
Same old thinking, same old results. We think all entrepreneurs need a helping hand to pick brains, a kick in the butt, a fresh set of eyes, a reality check to bounce ideas off a third party. So you might need a successfully screwed support session. It's a get unstuck strategy. Having someone to not only discuss an issue going on in your business, but also having a neutral third party help to create a plan to move forward is so important. Our support sessions are typically one time, intense, sit down, and when we're done, you'll have a clear view of what the problem actually is. A neutral, unemotional outlook on your business. A workable action plan to get you over the hump and back on track. Access to resources and professionals that can further provide you guidance, relief in knowing you have a support and a plan to move forward, and renewed excitement about your vision and business goals. Visit successfullyscrewpodcast.com/@a low point.
Welcome back to the Successfully Screwed Podcast with your extrovert introvert, Ashley Owens and Sarah Rosenberg. We have the pleasure of interviewing Jonathan Mercer from Stacks Company. Now, Jonathan, you are wildly inspirational, man. Like, you've come from what a lot of entrepreneurs our age come from. It's being really frustrated with the corporate environment, taking those skills we've learned and kind of putting them into a business. And you kind of fell into co-working spaces when you were kind of looking to kind of build up your network in Australia. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, actually the opposite. I avoided co-working spaces as much as I could, because I've always had anxiety and depression for as long as I can remember. And what I was actually doing in Australia was inspired by some of the challenges I had when I was in corporate with mental health and feeling like I couldn't talk about it at work because God forbid what might happen to my career, or would people look at me differently, or to be passed up for a promotion, or would I be pushed out, or people think I wasn't reliable. I didn't talk about it. I kind of bottled it up and felt like it was something that I had to hide. But meanwhile, I could talk to my friends and family about it. And I was inspired to start a project in Australia that called Leading Minds. And I was searching for business leaders in Australia that had lived experience with mental health conditions. So anxiety, depression, bipolar, anything. Themselves, not a friend or family, because you hear a lot of that of, oh, I supported somebody with it, but me, I'm bulletproof. Nothing health in corporate or just in business. I mean, a lot of celebrities talking about it, a lot of athletes, but it's a different environment. It's a different structure. It's not as relatable, I think, as hearing somebody from either your own workspace or a CEO of a company or a senior partner somewhere. So yeah, I set out to find these leaders, and it was pretty hard. It was actually really hard because there were none. There's no community of people with depression talking about it, really. There's clinical kind of, there's mental health professionals, but anyway, with co-working, I didn't join a co-working space because I was a little bit anxious and I felt like, oh, well, you know, will I fit in there? Will I be accepted or whatnot? But so I said, and I have a nice apartment with a view of Sydney Harbor. What the hell? I can work from here, right? And I can go to a coffee shop now and then when I need to get out of the house. But it was actually counterintuitive for me. I thought it was better for my anxiety to stay home. It was actually far worse because for, say I had, again, as an example, I had a call, right, at 2 p.m. and nothing else in the morning, I wouldn't talk to anybody all day. And I wouldn't be in the mindset to have like a professional call. And then 2 p.m. would roll around and my heart would be pounding. I'd be pacing and I'd have to go on this call. And hey, I probably did fine, but hey, that's just not healthy.
You are literally describing my life.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 100% my life.
Right. And then the other thing that I realize now is that, yeah, okay, if I was in a co-working space or some kind of environment that was kind of got me out of the house and got me started in that mindset of I'm now working, not only would I have been then kind of, the ice would have been broken for me, I would have been a little calmer, more relaxed. I would have met people that who knows who they know. And my whole thing, these business leaders, I had a network. So I had a cold call, I had a cold email, I had to walk into offices. But I could have been sitting next to somebody, if I was in a co-working space, sitting next to somebody that used to work at a big company that knew somebody, who knows? So, but I didn't give myself that opportunity because I wanted to save money. I thought I was saving money. I was actually losing money because it took me that much longer to actually get the project up and running. I avoided co-working. And then I had to come home late last year for some family stuff. My dad was sick and he passed away. And I found myself in Doylestown because I met a girl. And then I wanted a place to sit and work. And I knew, you know what, I'm not going to just sit in my girlfriend's apartment all day. And Zendan wasn't doing it for me. So that's when I Googled co-working. And I said, you know what, if it hasn't been done here, I'm going to do it. So here we are.
That's so fucking awesome. Like, I love that story so much, dude. Like, it's one of those stories where you can see the transition kind of go from one point to the other. You can see how you've worked through that. And there's no perfect bow at the top of it either. It's like, this is what happened. This is what you made the best out of it. This is what made sense for you. And it's just, you are the most relatable, I think, one of the most relatable guests we've had, because the transition between going from corporate and then having the anxiety and like the counterintuitiveness, like I work from home, right? And so I thought that would be easy because I'm a networking concierge. So I'm constantly talking to people and constantly going outside. But like, you're right. When I go sit and squat at a co-working space, the energy of, first of all, putting on pants is number one, right? That's like the first thing that gives you energy because you're like clothed and showered, right? But you're right. It gives you energy kind of, and also it builds that those creative juices. It's very productive. Speaking of that, I do want to go through some of the resources that you can't live without. So what would those be?
Yeah. So number one, and this is just goes straight from the point that we're just making, is community. To have a group of people that don't necessarily have to be working for you or working with you, but are just there to support you. And that could be your family and friends, which is good. But I think there's something to say about a professional community, and that's what we have at Stacks, and that's what a lot of co-working spaces offer, that you guys are doing the same things. You're starting your own thing, or some are remote workers, but you can, like you're talking about being able to relate, you can relate, and you don't have to worry about the family dynamics and things that you wouldn't talk to your partner about. You could talk to them about that your partner just might not understand, and you maybe don't want them to have to listen to you talk about. So that is something that got me through that tough time early in June. So the folks that were members here already, they're all still here. I mean, it was a pretty shitty time. But they're all still here and they're all still supportive and they pitch in and they help with things and they build things and they have events and meetings. And when I'm having a tough day, I talk to them, and it's, you know, this has become more like I find myself like counseling people and getting counsel. than more than running space, like an event rental space or space rental. It's really, I'm selling the social aspect of it. And I'll tell you, sometimes I found my community. So that helps to really have that to fall back on and just people to talk to. That's it.
Yeah, right. It's like free therapy because everyone's a little screwed up and it's a little, at least you can laugh about it.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. All right. So now we come down to our favorite piece of the podcast. It's called Rapid Fire Questions. Rapid Fire Questions, Jonathan, are questions that Sarah and I will both provide to you. The point of these questions is that you need to answer without thinking about them. Sarah will provide you with questions that are inspirational, motivational. I will provide you with questions that are stupid and probably a little insensitive. So, Sarah, if you don't mind, please starting your rapid fire question. Question number one.
All right, question number one, Jonathan, what is the title of your TED Talk?
No more TED Talks.
That's awesome. I had myself on mute and I really laughed. All right, your next question is coming from me. What is your favorite kind of ice cream?
Non-dairy ice cream, dairy-free.
Dude, do you like
based?
Are you lactose intolerant, JP?
I am way intolerant. Not like W-H-E-Y intolerant.
Oh my God. Do you choose to be intolerant or are you just?
No.
Okay, I don't know.
Why would someone really weird that?
No.
I don't know.
I think I built up an intolerance from too much whey protein shakes. I was playing football and all that stuff in high school. And I just can't. Like,
stop it.
Like, yeah. So, like, I could, if I try a whey protein shake that's lactose free, it destroys me anyway. So,
dude, oh my God. Have you ever, like, pooped your pants, like, accidentally?
Yeah.
From,
oh,
like,
yeah,
having something? Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Next question, Sarah. I'm sorry.
Is that one of the questions?
No. You're getting two more. Good.
All right. I feel like we should ask that question now, like every time. Okay. My next question, now that we're a little bit distracted here, my next question is, what are the three traits that you feel a successful entrepreneur needs to have?
Three traits. One of them is, you just got it trying, the willingness to try, and then failing comes with that too, like just putting it out there and not really kind of not caring that much. I mean, you got to care, but if it doesn't work, you got to move on to the next thing. You can't put too much invest too much in one thing. Another trait is you got to have a lot of boxers because you're going to poop your pants a lot of underwear. No, that's not a trait. Is that a trait?
Have a Costco size worth of Depends diapers.
That's it.
Yay! All right, number three.
Okay. No, one more. I thought that was three.
I think you could, from your perspective, I think you just have to try. I feel like your background, like you just tried, and you overcame the fear and the anxiety by just trying. It wasn't like you weren't in a position where it was like, I have to do this. It was like, let me try something different because I don't like the way that I feel. I don't like where the position of, let me just try something different. And it seems like the opportunities came from you trying.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the ability to understand like what you're actually doing, like what's the goal of the thing you're doing. And you don't, like we were telling, I know you're, Sarah, you're talking a little bit with the call with the lady with the blogs and all the stuff that you were telling her to do. And I know that was probably sound advice, but a lot of people actually, I won't go into who, but some of everybody's like, you gotta have a website. But what are you doing? Are you cleaning houses? All you really need to do to clean houses is have some houses that you can clean. You don't need a website, but really know what your end, like your product is, and how do you get to that? And you need to know how to navigate to that path.
Thank you so much for being here today, Jonathan. We so appreciate it. And make sure you hashtag I listened and share this episode with your audience and comment and subscribe to the podcast, the Successfully Screwed Podcast. We look forward to seeing you and listening to you and telling you things every week. And thank you so much, Jonathan.
Thank you, guys. This is a pleasure.
Thank you.
Got it. All right, everybody. Stay successful, stay screwed, and stay tuned.